All right, it is Friday night, and again, we are here for another message. Sarah, welcome. Brother Jerry, welcome. You know, again, he's a newcomer, folks, so give him a great big old welcome. You know, we still have some people growing this thing, so, you know, like, we're going to continue to pursue this, but we're just kind of running some difficulties with other things. So, again, welcome. You know, again, I do have an opening song, but I can't play it. I mean, if I play it, everybody will have to click on it, but if we're not on in sync, the song's going to be playing while I'm talking. It's going to be hard for you to understand. Then I have to turn on the sound to the sound room, and then I'm going to be getting an echo feedback, so that complicates issues. So anyway, it kind of sounds like, you know, what we've basically been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and basically I was thinking of this today. And I was wondering, you know, for those of you who have been following the sermons that I've spoken on in the past, and I'm sure those of you here tonight, Jerry, you're new, but I do have my sermons uploaded on another site, so, you know, if you listen to those, you can understand where we're going with this. But I'm sure that many of y'all have recalled many sayings that I have said over the years. Some of you have been with me for quite a while. Some that used to be here has moved on. But if you listen to a lot of sermons, I have a lot of favorite sayings. I do have a lot of sayings. I say many things. I use lots of illustrations. But y'all heard me said many sayings over the times that I preached in these sermons. And here's a few of them in case that you've been paying attention. Whoever said following Jesus was going to be easy, I don't know if you can recall that, but I say that a lot, you know, especially to youth groups, because, you know, when I do talk with youth groups, let me tell you something. I was talking to a few weeks back, you know, and I was telling one young man, look, y'all have it the hardest. You know, I'm 60 years old. You know, I was a youth once. Yeah, we all were. But, you know, Jerry, I think you can relate to this. But see, you're trying to make a stand and you're trying to stand up for Christ. But yet you got the world that's going to be coming after you. You got Satan that's going to be after you because, you know, everything in this world is trying to get you to think different. But that's why I was telling these youth, you know, whoever said following Jesus was going to be easy. Some people out there preach, oh, once you come to Jesus, everything is done. You have no more issues. Really? I wish they would tell me that. Where did I miss the boat? You know, if someone was to tell me, you know, many years back, 18 years ago, Jim, when you come to Jesus, all your problems go away. Really? Wow. Folks, it's not going to be easy. You know, this is what this message is going to be about tonight. But here's another saying. What makes you think we're not going to have trials and tribulations? I said that a lot to many of y'all. I say that a lot to many people. I say that a lot to youth, older adults, middle-aged adults. What makes you think that we're not going to have trials and tribulations? How about this one? I know y'all can recognize this one. You should, because I quote this one a lot. Three things that you can be sure of in your Christian walk. One, that you're in a storm. Two, you're out of a storm. Or three, a storm is heading your way. Now, I know some of you here tonight have heard me say that because I said that a couple of weeks ago in case if you were paying attention or not. But better yet, how about this one? And I use this a lot to myself. And me and my wife said this the other night. You know, walking with the Lord, it's hard living for us, for all of us. And there's truth to that, because those of us who was walking with Christ, who decided to follow his path, to allow him to be in our lives, it's a hard walk. It's a difficult walk. Many of our friends look at us in a different way. Many of them make fun of us. Many says, you know, you're an oddball, and many other things. But, you know, they really do that. But just a few of these sayings would make you think. And it made me think when I was writing this message. Because I started this about actually 3 weeks ago. And I kind of was piecemealing it together. But just a few of these sayings would make you think, man, following Jesus really does not sound like a walk in the park, does it? When we hear words of trials and tribulations and hardships and ups and downs and attacks and this and that and whatever. It sounds like, really, following Jesus is not going to be an easy way of living, right? I'm sure some of you can agree with that. If not, well, maybe I'm the only one telling the truth. Who knows, you know? At least we got another honest person. So good, Lisa. But it's tough. It's hard. There's a few I talk to here online, especially, I'm not going to name names, but they're having a difficult situation following Christ right now. Their friends, their families, their loved ones, making fun of them, ridiculing them, telling them, hey, you know, you need to quit that nonsense. Or they're being attacked by their own family members. I was just talking with one young lady not too long ago. She's having a difficult time. She's actually being called a heretic. And she says, what am I supposed to do? I say, all you can do is pray. I understand where she's coming from. She's having a hard time because she's caught up in that household and has no place to go. But yet she wants to serve God. But you know, I had a real good friend of mine. He went on to be with the Lord long ago. He was one of my first mentors. He was my first mentor. I had five of them that taught me. But he told me this one day. He said, Jimbo, he used to call me T-Bone. Now, I don't know how he gets T-Bone by looking at me. I don't look like no prime rib or some pork chop or ribeye steak or whatever. I don't know how he got T-Bone from looking at me, but that's the nickname he gave me, T-Bone. He always called me, hey, T-Bone. I'm like, what? Why T-Bone? My name is Jimmy or Jimbo or Jim or whatever. But he told me this when I first came to Christ. He said, look, I'm going to try to help you understand something when you come to Jesus. He said, being a Christian is the hardest thing that I ever done. I'm like, whoa, what? Why? And in this message, I think you might understand why being a Christian may be the hardest thing you have ever done. But thinking back on it and today and bringing this message to you, I will have to agree with him. I think you can agree with me. Being a Christian is one of the hardest things that you and I could do. I give a yes to that. I don't know about you. It's hard. It's hard making a stand. It's hard following Jesus. See, I agree with him because of this. When you study the Word of God and you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we're covering that in the book of Romans in our Bible lessons, you don't agree to the flesh no more. Yeah, we slip. We boo-boo. We mess up. We sin. That's what the blood takes care of. We don't sin on purpose, but we sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners saved by grace. But it does not give us the right to continually go out there and sin, but we do mess up. But the reason why being is so difficult to follow Jesus, because when you really study the Word gives us so many instructions of how we ought to live. And then when we submit to the Holy Spirit and we listen to the Holy Spirit and we ask, Lord, show me the way, show me how to live. And if you're listening to him and he tells you what to do, it becomes difficult at times because you are met with so much junk that comes at you. So much. But here's why sometimes it's hard for us. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm not one of these people, but I am. Here's why sometimes that I had a hard time with it, and I still have a hard time today with it. But I'm going to live it because, again, I want the Lord to change me. But here's why it's so hard of being a Christian, because of the instructions that Christ gives us. And listen to some of his instructions that he gives us. Here's one he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Oh, I got a problem with that right off the bat. Whoa, are you kidding me? Telling me to love my enemies? Dude, But that's what he tells us to do. Then he goes on, do good to those who hate you. Oh, no, hold on a minute. Now you're telling me to love my enemies, but now you're telling me to do good to those who hate me? Dude, are you really whacked? Come on, wait a minute. Now you're trying to tell me love and do good? Hold on a minute, Nelly. How about other sayings such as this? Turn the other cheek. What? Well, how about this? Do not judge. Do not condemn. Be merciful, just as God is merciful. Cool. You're talking about a party crasher. Wow. You telling me to do all these things? Yes, he is. See, if I was to ask you to raise your hand and say yes, listen to this carefully before you say yes or raise your hand. I can't see your hand, but if you was in church, I would ask for a raise of hands. But if I would ask you to raise your hand or say yes, if you live by these instructions all the time without missing a beat. Let's be honest. I want you to say yes or raise your hand if you live by all those instructions without missing a beat, without doing wrong once. I don't. And if anybody else says yes, thank you, Lisa. They can't say yes because if they did, they would be lying. We can't live like that. It's difficult. It's hard. But that's being honest with ourselves, because a lot of people think, well, because I still mess up, I still do those wrong things and all stuff, but yet, you know, he's giving us instructions to live like this, that I can't do like this, then something must be wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with you. It's perfectly normal. It's a difficult life to live because we were so used to the old sinful ways. We are now trying to live and be conformed to his ways. And it's a difficult journey. It's going to be a difficult journey until you breathe your very last. But here, I'm really want you to think, you know, if I were to ask you then, you know, to raise your hands or say yes to that without missing a beat, I should have paused and said, anyone? But, you know, we got to be truthful. None of us can, because we would be lying. So what's wrong? Why can't we be like that? Or, and as I was thinking when writing this, was Jesus really off base when he told us to live like this? Was he kind of, dude, are you kidding me? I mean, if I was to see him right now, I'd probably ask him, dude, are you kidding me to live like this? Seriously? Or does he expect too much from us? Does he? Think about that one. Our dear friend will be posting, and I hope the Bible body is working, but if not, she's going to have to do it manually. But if you got your Bibles, but she will post it for you on the screen. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 6, verse 27, all the way to 33. And look what it says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you, for even sinners do the same. That is heavy duty. That is a lot. Whoa. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for allowing us to gather together. You know, we're having some technical difficulties, Lord. You know, I know you can do all things, and sometimes people like to pray, you know, hey, take care of my car, or fix my bike, or do this or that, whatever. And I know that's just materialistic things, Father, but give me the wisdom, the directions, and help us try to clear up some of these issues we're having, because it just seems like we are being met with so much opposition these days that I just have a feeling that those oppositions, the world is trying to stop the word from being presented. We got new folks coming here today, and they need to be encouraged and lifted up, you know, and have fellowship and all this, and yet he's trying to disrupt it. So I ask for your wisdom to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Forgive me where I have sinned. Forgive me where I have really bad thoughts in my mind. But Father, help us and guide us and teach us. And yes, if you got to, correct us. Sometimes we don't like chastising, but it happens. So I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them, strengthen them, lift them up. I want to lift them up to you, Father, because they need your help now too. Especially the younger folks. Father, they're making a statement by saying yes to your son, Jesus. But yet the world, we already know, does not like it. So be with them, strengthen them, encourage them, and help them grow. Help them learn. Help them fight what's going on out there. And put the words into their hearts. And let them know, hey, look, we're not perfect. We make mistakes, and I love you. And be with them and encourage them and help them walk more like Jesus each and every day. We praise you and glorify you, all in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Well, folks, that's the title of the message. Being a Christian is hard. And y'all seen that flash over and over at the bottom. But the fact of the matter is, when thinking about this message, you know, I started thinking to myself a lot for 18 years. Some of you may have a leg up on me. You've been at this for a lot longer than I have. But, you know, I will admit to you folks, look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. But living like Jesus really is hard. It really is. I wish it would be easy. I wish that we would not have no issues. I wish we would never have no problems. I wish we would never have no trials and tribulations. One day, we won't. But yet, while we're living here, we ought to make the best of it with his help. Now, as I was trying to start this off, I said, well, what would be a good illustration to use for these kind folks? Well, digging around, I come across this. Listen to what this theologian, N.T. Wright, says about the following verses that we just read. Or basically what he is saying, the following instructions. You look at those scriptures right there, that is instructions to us on how we ought to live. But this list, what he's basically saying to us, this list is all about which God do you believe in, and about the way of life that follows as a result. To give you a little clarity, what he's talking about, which God, you can follow the God of the flesh, or you can follow the God of the spirit. Which God do you follow? And then he goes on to say in his article, and I like this, how he puts this, you and I, we must admit with shame that large sections of Christianity down the years seem to have known little or nothing of the God that Jesus himself was talking about. I come across that today. There's many people out there still know little or nothing of the God that Jesus is talking about. I don't know about you, but that kind of steps on my toes a bit. Do you really know the God that Jesus really is talking about? I think we got to examine that one. But here, you know, I was looking at that. I don't know about you, but see, there is really nothing to me. And this is me, I'm just throwing this in. But I don't know about you, but there is nothing easy about loving our enemies. But Jesus tells us we must love them. I look at that like, really? Well, Jesus, you don't know the situation that I'm in with those people. But he does. Yet he tells us to love them. Man. That's a tall order. That's hard. There's really nothing easy about loving the people who are hard on you, or causing you problems, or causing you heartaches, or causing you suffering, or causing you pain. There's nothing easy about loving them. There's nothing easy about ministering to people that you do not like. Hello? There's nothing easy about that. I don't feel like ministering to that person because I really don't care for them. And I can hear Jesus somewhere saying, so? That's not what I'm telling you to do. You said you want to follow me? Okay, go minister to those people. Go talk to them. But you don't know. So? Wow. See, folks, there is nothing easy about the cross. There's nothing easy about the cross. You see, and I might not pronounce this name right, but it's another illustration. Henry Nouwen, N-O-U-W-E-N, wrote a meditation called The Greatest Gift. I had to go look that up and read it. In it, this is the story he illustrates here. In it, he imagines two twins, a brother and a sister, talking to each other in their mother's womb. And the sister turns and looks at the brother. I believe there is life after birth. Her brother protests loudly. No, no! This is all there is. This is a dark and cozy place. And we have nothing else to do but cling to the cord that feeds us. But the little girl insists, there must be something more than this dark place. There must be something else, a place with light, where there's freedom to move. Still, she cannot convince her twin brother. Then after some silence, the sister says hesitantly, I have something else to say. I'm afraid you won't believe this, but I think there is a mother. And the brother becomes furious. I mean, he is hopping mad. A mother, he shouts. What are you talking about? I have never seen a mother, and neither have you. Who put that idea into your head? As I told you, this place is all that we have. Why do you always want more? This is not such a bad place after all. We have all we need, so let's be content. Now, the sister became quite overwhelmed by her brother's response, and for a while, she doesn't dare say anything more. But she can't let go of her thoughts. And since she has only her twin brother to speak to, she finally says this. Don't you feel the squeeze every once in a while? They're quite unpleasant and sometimes even painful. So the boy says, yes, he answers. I feel them and they are unpleasant. But the pain always goes away after a while. Well, the sister says, I think these squeezes are there to get us ready for another place, much more beautiful than this, where we will see our mother face to face. Don't you think that's exciting? Wow. Good illustration. Why did I use this simple? What am I trying to say to you right now? The online listeners, after you heard this, what am I trying to say to you? This is what I want you to understand. If we're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be pain and suffering. But there's also going to be a birthing and a light. Ask any mother. And ladies, since there's only ladies here right now, I think you can relate to this if you have children. She will tell you that birthing is a painful ordeal. It's painful for the mother, but it's also got to be very painful for the baby. And the baby, well, the baby cries when he or she is born. And the baby has to learn how to eat. And the baby has to eventually learn how to walk. And the baby falls down a lot and gets hurt a lot. But eventually the baby learns to walk, and then the baby learns to walk even more. Watch out. And when they get gone, they are gone. But there's still all kind of dangers of the things that the baby encounters. There's still dangers of all kind of things that the baby starts out trying to do. And lots of these things are dangerous to the baby. And so, the mother and the father, they must keep a close eye on the baby. They must help the baby learn and grow. They must keep the baby safe. They must be patient with the baby. And then eventually, the baby learns how to run and to read. And to write, and to talk, and all along the way, there are new dangers that come with that. New things to find out. More mistakes to be made. My friends, Christianity is a journey. It's not a destination. Christianity is not a destination. It is a journey. And I think personally to me in this message, in what Jesus is telling us, we need to be more patient with each other. You get that? We need to be more patient with each other. We need to be more empathetic. We need to help one another every chance we get. Every chance we have. Because God, folks, look, God is not done with any of us right now. He's not done with us yet. And this is why I think, in this scripture here in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, this is why I think when in John 13, 34, 35, Jesus says this. And look at it carefully. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, look at the last half of it, folks. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Wow. What am I saying of this passage? To me, here's what I am saying about this passage right here. This to me means that this is a true test, a true test for us, for being a disciple of Christ and learning how to live the hard life set before us and loving people who would hate us to no extent. That's a test for us, folks, to love people to no extent. That's a true test to us being disciples of Christ. That's what he's telling us. It has been said that Jesus has given the world the right to judge us. And that's right. Jesus Christ has given the world the right to judge whether or not we are true disciples. And when he said this to us, and listen to this carefully, folks, and read it as I said, listen to this carefully. When he said this to us, they will know you have love for one another, but they will know that you are my disciples when you love like I do. Wow. You see, Jesus is telling the world, they will know you, and you are my disciples if you love like I do. And if we're not demonstrating that love, they have a right to judge us. Because Christ loved everyone, even to the point of death on the cross. Why aren't we doing the same thing? Why? Are you doing that right now? Are you doing exactly what Jesus is telling you? To love your enemies? Or have you asked yourself this question? How am I doing? Jimmy, how are you doing? Well, according to that, then, The reason why I say this, folks, because in the world where grocery store workers hate their customers because customers are always complaining, we are called to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. In a world where waitresses and waiters hate the ones they serve, we are called to bless those who curse us and pray for those who mistreat us. In a world where the law of retribution is justified, we are called. And when someone slaps us on one cheek, turn the other to them also. And if someone takes our coat, well, we're supposed to give them our shirt also. We are to live as children of the Most High. And the Most High is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He is merciful. So Jesus says so even in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Not me saying this. He's saying it right there. Look at it. Look what. Jesus is merciful. He said, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. How are we doing? Are we doing that? Yes, folks. We are to be like this because this is what God is like. Want a little bit more proof? Look what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says. Right there. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, oh, look at this. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. See, this is the kind of God that we have. This is what God is all about. You go even further with this, Jesus himself even prayed. He prayed from the cross. As he was bleeding, as he was grasping for air, We see this in Luke 23, 34. And look what he said when he was on a cross, mangled, beating, bleeding, grasping for air, trying to breathe. Y'all, if you studied the crucifixions of the cross, you really truly see how brutal it was. It was horrible. But yet he gives us a command here while dying on the cross, and this is what he says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide even his garments while he was dying. And yet he forgave them. Wow. Are you loving your enemies? I'm not going to rat nobody out, but we've been having a conversation about people in the past. Do we need to reevaluate this? Do we need to be like Jesus? So when you hear me say all this, folks, everything that I told you tonight, what are we to do with this? Well, Jim, man, bro, you're giving us some hard instructions. No, wait a minute. I'm not giving you nothing. Everything that you see that I heard or said tonight was given to us by Christ. Wow. So what are we to do with that? Are we truly living like Jesus commands us to do? Are we? I challenge you here tonight, online listeners, I know people listening to this thing because I see the hit counters. I challenge you tonight and those who listen to this, ask yourself this question. Am I truly living like Jesus as he commands us to do? Am I? And meditate on that. And if you're honest like me, the answer would be no. We're not. So in closing, I mean, when I came to this point, I'm like, man, what more can I say to these folks tonight? The only thing I can tell you, my friends, it's so hard being a Christian. It really is. Is it impossible being a Christian? No, it's not. But this is something that has hit me very close to my own home. This is something that hit me very close when I was faced with something like this that I'm about to read to you. That's when I was digging around in that, looking for some other illustrations to kind of tie this in. And this really hit me like a ton of bricks because I was just being faced with the same exact situation. And like I said, sometimes in the past, if you're still enough and you listen to God and you seek him for answers, he'll give you the answer. Sometimes you may not like it. But listen to this. I don't know how many of you read or even know this book. It's named The Hiding Place. I don't know if y'all familiar with that book or not. But you might be familiar with the author. Her name is Corrie Ten Boom. I read some of her materials, some of her books. I mean, folks, look. She's done a lot. But look at what she said in this book. That Corrie's family helped hide Jews from the Nazis during the Holocaust. Eventually, they got caught and they all were sent to a concentration camp. Corrie was only one in her family to survive. And she wrote a book about it. And Corrie and her sister named Betsy were especially close. They were together for much of the time in the concentration camp. Eventually, though, Bessie lost her life. In any event, after her ordeal, Corrie became a bit famous for what she had lived through, and she was often asked to speak about it at churches and so forth. And she would talk about God's love and forgiveness in all places. But one night at a church in Munich, M-U-N-I-C-H, I'm sorry, some of that's new words, but one night at that church in Munich, Corey was shocked to see one of the former SS men who stood guard at the shower room doors at the concentration camp where they were at. He was one of the cruel men who mocked her, who mocked Corey, who mocked Bessie, and other prisoners in the processing center. He was the first of the actual jailers that Corey has seen since that horrible time. She never ran across no one since then. But that night, he was the first one she's seen. And listen to what Corey writes. And all of a sudden, it was all there. The room of the mocking men. The heaps of the clothing. Bessie's pain. A blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming, smiling from ear to ear, bowing to her. "Oh, how grateful I am for your message," he says. "I think, as you say, Jesus has washed away all my sins." And Corey continues. His hand was thrust out to shake hers. And I, who have preached so often to the people about the need to forgive, I kept my hand at my side. Even as the anger welled up, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ has died for this man, and I was going to ask for more? So Corey prayed, "Forgive me and help me forgive him." And Corey writes, "I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I could not. I felt nothing for him, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus," she says, "I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And then she says, as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. While into my heart sprang a love for this man that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it's not our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on God. Wow. Powerful. And as I read that, and I was just dealt with that not too long, a few days back, I cannot stand here and say, would we all do the same when he tells us to love our enemies? Will we do that? He gives alone the command, love itself. Whew. Isn't that interesting? Again, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Could it be just very well be that this great reward is who we become in the process of asking Jesus for his forgiveness and seeking over and over and over and over again to follow him. Could it be? Again, to me, following Jesus is not a destination, but it's a journey. It's not what is, but what should be. Now, is that exciting? Amen. Let's pray.